Hi there. Welcome into CES 2024 and the Thrive podcast by Bridgestone Americas. We are having conversations with partners, collaborators, different emerging technology companies all across the sphere of advanced mobility, of vehicle tech, as all of these are showcasing here at CES, giving us opportunity to meet with some people, some Bridgestone teammates from around the globe who are coming together to share the story here in the Bridgestone booth, and also talk to other people also coming from around the globe who are parts of different aspects of the events and strategies that we're driving forward as part of Bridgestone 3.0. So I'm here today with two guests. We're going to focus on sustainable premium motorsports. That is obviously motorsports, something that is very ingrained in who Bridgestone is as a company, but having, as we look to the future, a little bit of a different look focused on sustainability, the global premium in the brand. And we'll talk about what all of that means, and in particular, what one of our platforms, the Bridgestone World Solar Challenge, has to do to fit into all of that. So that was enough ado to start, but now let me tell you who we're talking to. So nearest to me here from our office in Tokyo, Bridgestone in Japan, is Todd Uchida, director of the Bridgestone Motorsports Division. Todd, thanks for coming to Vegas, man.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to dive in. And then across from me here is Matthew Albert, team captain from Eclipse ETS, one of the teams that was in the Bridgestone World Solar Challenge in 2023. Matthew, good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and just to start off, we like to explain our acronyms here so that listeners understand things. We talked before, I should have tried, maybe would have been humorous, but I want to make sure it is pronounced correctly. What does ETS stand for?
École de Technologie Supérieure.
And that is the name of the university that you are attending and represent in the World Solar Challenge, correct?
Exactly, a small university from Montreal in Canada.
Perfect. Better that I did not try to pronounce it. I appreciate you stepping in to support there. We always like to start by getting to know a little bit about the background of the individuals that we're talking to so that we understand your perspective on then the larger topic. Maybe Todd-san, let's start with you.
Okay.
What's been your journey in your career, maybe at Bridgestone, to the point where you're at now?
Yeah, I've been with the Bridgestone over 30 years. Yeah. Motorsports has been a new assignment from last September, but I was assigned to various divisions, including OE tire business, not only in Japan, but in the U.S. Also, I had an assignment in Europe for corporate communications and replacement markets. So I was doing some Olympic activation as well, and now I'm in the motorsports.
There you go. You've watched from afar, I'm sure, the motorsports activities being with Bridgestone over the years.
Yes.
How does it feel to be in it, I guess, right now?
I'm very excited. You know, the motorsports has been the long journey with Bridgestone. And I think it's being part of it now with a new direction. I'm quite excited about this.
There you go. And we are going to learn a little bit about this World Solar Challenge, the experience that, Matthew, you had. But first, I guess let's learn a little bit about your background to get to being a team captain competing in the World Solar Challenge. What's been your road to this point?
Mm-hmm. I am I'm a student at ETS. Started out, doing a technical degree in computer science, and now moving up all the way to studying right now software engineering. I'm currently a third-year student.
There you go. So we'll have the vast perspective. We're all across the age spectrum here of experience and wisdom. I will be the least wise of the group. Let's make that very clear as we start. But we talk about this idea of global sustainable motorsports at Bridgestone. So as we opened it up, you know, I mentioned, and as Todd-san has said, we've got this ingrained in who Bridgestone is. The last 2-3 years, and as we look at Bridgestone 3.0, this future of mobility and the role and the importance of sustainability in these targets that we have for the future at Bridgestone, motorsports has to be part of that process and come along with us because of how important it is for us. Can you explain maybe for our listeners just what is that shift? What is now our focus and when we talk about global sustainable motorsports for the future?
Well, you know, as Bridgestone 3.0, you know, we have defined our vision as being a sustainable solution company.
Yes.
To start, the motorsports has been and will be always be the starting point of the business. And the direction now we have is to be a sustainable company with a premium brand. So the motorsports the focus we have right now is to be involved in a platform where it's more sustainable and where it's more global and premium. So these are the definitions that we have, and we are looking into various platforms which are the answer to those sustainable, premium, and global. So these three keywords are the key ingredients of what we do. Now, with that, the motorsports is kind of, let's say, experimental mm-hmm. platform where we can test various new things, where we kind of triggers down to the everyday business. But where we do in motorsport, what we do in the motorsports will be the new trial, if you say, if you will, to test various materials, various, let's say, recycle trial and so forth. So this is what we want to do. And with this motorsports platform, we hope to and expand to the everyday business.
Yeah, I know our global CEO Ishibashi-san has called it a mobile lab. Right?
Yeah, mobile lab.
To be able to do that testing. And certainly I think we've seen in the Americas side where we support IndyCar, that idea of through the Firestone brand where the old motto used to be, right, win on Sunday, sell on Monday, and it's the idea of track to street, bringing the technology down the business.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly right.
But now doing it in a more sustainably focused, or being more conscious, I guess, about the sustainable aspects of these
exactly.
things.
Exactly, and we are trying to focus on that,
yeah,
yes.
For sure. You mentioned some of these platforms, of which Bridgestone World Solar Challenge is one. What are maybe some of these other platforms as examples of
what's
going on
there? We are very excited to have two title sponsorship. Mm-hmm. One is a Bridgestone World Solar Challenge. Mm-hmm. The other one is a Bridgestone FIA Eco Rally Cup,
yep,
which is everyday EV cars, mm-hmm, motorsports, which can be done by the ordinary people.
Yeah,
and it's right now it's only in Europe, but we hope to have it in the U.S. in the near future as well.
Yeah, it's a growing platform there. I think that's what, when people were learning about it, they didn't realize is these are just street cars and not like,
yep,
souped up,
nope,
street cars. These are normal EVs that people
normal EVs with normal people,
yeah,
driving. It's race about the efficiency.
Yeah.
It's not about speed. You have to have efficient driving on the certain distance in the right timing. So it's about how you want to drive an efficient car with efficiency.
Yep, there you go. The competition around speed and efficiency as
right.
we evolve that mindset. I know we're here in Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show. The Indy Autonomous Challenge is something that is a very big part of this. They have a kind of a spectacle every year with this autonomous driving. That's another one of these platforms,
yeah,
that we're in here in the United States.
Yeah, yeah, with the Bridgestone brand, mm-hmm, we are excited to have that on our platform as well. And, you know, autonomous is something in the future, and you know, as a bridge motorsports platform, it's a trial again.
Exactly.
Mobile lab, that's how you want to define.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for those, we always like to plug old versions or episodes of the podcast. We did speak last year at CES to the man in charge of the Indy Autonomous Challenge, Paul Mitchell, about just that, right? This is them trying to help prove the technology. And that's where it aligns a lot for us to
right.
continue to try to bring these things forward.
Exactly. Thank you.
Matthew, so Todd-san mentioned the World Solar Challenge. You are a person who has lived this actual event from, mm-hmm, from the inside of it. Would love to hear when people ask you, what is this World Solar Challenge? How do you explain this platform?
I see it as sort of the, you know, a great challenge is where universities from all across the world, you know, meet up in Australia to be able to push back the limits of what's, you know, possible right now and, you know, solar technology and sustainable mobility. So we've all spent the past 2 years making these cars that are meant just to run on sun, and we cross the Australian outback. So from north to south, a 3,000-kilometer journey just on solar power.
Yeah, that it seems like quite an undertaking, right? I mean, you put 3,000 kilometers out there. This isn't something where it's on a controlled course. This is a map across the country in
it
the
really
outback.
Is.
Yeah. what has been your role, and then I guess with the team, how does it all, how does your participation take shape?
Mm-hmm. When I first started out in the university, I joined the club as soon as I learned it existed. I just thought, you know, making a solar car was the coolest thing, right?
Sounds pretty cool and different, right? Yeah.
So I started out in the strategy team. So we built and worked on the race strategy, which allows us to say, you know, given the road conditions, the weather conditions, what's the best speed we could be going at? And after the 2022 American Solar Challenge, there was an opportunity to open up as a team captain, which I gladly took on the challenge and I've been doing since.
You know, it sounds like, you know, people are like, oh, cool, you're building a solar car, which sounds like enough of a challenge in itself. Mm-hmm. But then when you're talking, like, there is a whole race strategy then that goes beyond the technology, the vehicle that you're building, to then dealing with that in all of the elements. Do you own that as team captain, or how does it break down in all the parts of the team, maybe?
Right, right. I mean, I'm in our team, what we like to pride ourselves as is we're a relatively small team, but everybody could do a bit of everything, right? You know, you could, if you're a member of the team, you know, you could spend one morning, you know, working on an electrical board, and then the afternoon go back downstairs and, you know, tweaking the suspensions, right? So everybody has sort of their expertise, but at the same time, everybody could help out everyone in each of their departments.
What I guess is the motivation of each of the individuals in the team and then collectively, right? I think we hear from Todd-san, our Bridgestone approach is this is a platform driving new sustainable technologies for the future that have potentially great value for society. What motivates maybe you personally as an individual to be involved in this type of competition? I know you said it sounded cool, but then as you learn more about it, what continues that motivation? And then is that similarly shared by the rest of the team?
Absolutely. I think most people get into the idea, you know, they're first attracted to, you know, the solar panels or the idea of, you know, building a car that gets to go on roads. But quickly, the motivation of the team and everyone, I'd say, actively in the team is, you know, it's our opportunity to make a difference, right? As students, this is how we can make an impact, you know, and move forward in the world of, you know, sustainable mobility.
Yeah. We think of it as competition, right? You guys are racing from a start line to a finish line, but a platform like this seems like it has a larger community base that you're all trying to build and advance the technology, and then also, by the way, trying to use the technology you build to beat each other. But are you guys able to set that stuff aside because it is that collective approach to trying to drive the innovation and drive it forward?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Once, you know, we're all there, at the paddocks, at the competition, you know, you'll be hard-pressed to find somebody that won't want to share what they built, right? Everybody there is just so passionate about what they want to share how they thought about, you know, this idea of doing this differently so that, you know, they could get X advantage. And really, it's a nice community, being able to go through, see other, you know, people's cars and be like, oh, how did you guys do that? Like, oh, yeah, but, you know, we did it this way. Really cool. I'd say, however, where, you know, the line is probably drawn is, you know, for example, just this year, between the first and the second place, over, you know, 5 days, there was only 20 minutes difference between, you know, first and second position. So where that usually gets drawn is on the race strategy side. And you'll have people will be, you know, a bit more difficult to speaking on that topic.
Yeah. Well, and that's stuff I want to explore as well, because I think for people hopefully listening and heard that, right, this is 5 days. We talked about the distance covered. It is out off a track. 5 days. I mean, a lot of our motorsports, we talk about like 24 hours of Le Mans, right? Or 24 hours of Daytona. This is that times five, and we're extending it out, and there's other things that we need to unpack about that experience. But I think maybe, you know, Uchida-san, the World Solar Challenge, this is one of the two platforms that Bridgestone puts its name on as a title sponsor, right? I think why is, as we've learned now, more than a decade it's been there, what have we learned from it? Why is it so important to us to continue to be a part of it?
You know, first, it was a good idea to be involved because it's all about sustainability. So more than a decade ago, we were very happy to have this title sponsorship. But as we learn over the various events, it's not only the idea of sustainability, the challenge exists with the, you know, young students being involved in the automotive world with sustainability. We also had a challenge to make a tire more sustainable, lowering resistance while maintaining the wear, tire wear. So it's been a challenge, and we are collecting the data from each event and making a tire better and better every time.
And we did have a unique and purpose-built tire specifically for the World Solar Challenge this year.
Yes.
Yeah. What can you tell us about what made this tire special and how we approached,
well,
I guess, designing it?
Well, first of all, you know, we have to meet the requirement of this platform, sure, being a rolling the resistance and also tire wear. At the same time, we had a challenge to make this tire more material circularity higher. It's about, I think, over 60%, 63%.
63%, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. And so 63% on material circularity. It's been, of course, designed and produced specifically for this event. But we were very proud to have that tire running over 3,000 kilometers. And yes, it was a great challenge that we done for 2023. And beyond 2025, we are looking into another challenge, which might be a more lowering resistance, or as the vehicle evolves, it's getting heavier.
Yeah.
Especially there's a class called the cruiser class, which has like normal cars. And we need to have that tire to be sustainable at the same time. Needs to carry the weight. So so those are the challenges that we are looking into.
Sure. And I think this was, we had talked about it being the first proof point of Enlighten technologies being used in motorsports, right?
Yes, yes.
Which is a huge, you know, purpose when we talk about the sustainable premium motorsports of the future for us. That's where Enlighten, the same technologies that we've been talking about in manufacturing for our consumer and our commercial tires, applied as well to motorsports. As
exactly,
Keith.
Yeah. You brought a great point. You know, as
well,
I said,
well,
the
thank you. I prepare for these things. Yes, of course.
As we do the customize for these platforms, this is the Enlighten's all about.
Yeah.
To have it customized and be a very premium on those sustainable technologies. So it is all about the Enlighten. We are very proud to have that Enlighten brand on the Solar Car Challenge.
Yeah, and I think you said 63% material circularity, which I know we talk about being recyclable and renewable materials, right? So there was a lot of alternative materials that we used in the design and making of that tire. Great to learn. He mentioned, Matthew, the idea of there's two different classes. I think maybe we didn't explain that a lot at the very beginning when we talk about what the World Solar Challenge is. Would you be able to describe the difference between the two classes of competition in the race?
Absolutely. So there's the first class, the Challenger class, which is the one that, you know, since the first edition of the race has been around. And essentially what it is, it's about pushing back, you know, to the limit of performance, right? It is a single occupant vehicle as of 2023, 4 square meters of solar panels with 3 or 4 wheels on the vehicle. And really the objective is to get to the finish line as fast as possible. Whereas there is also the cruiser class, which is sort of a newer class that is meant to bring a bit more practical approach to the challenges we face, right? So this class is more about efficiency. So they could be multiple occupants in this car. And the goal is, that's it, to get from point A to point B efficiently. So you might, you know, might not be, the winner of this class might not be necessarily be the fastest car, but if it was carrying 12 people with it, you know, it's a pretty efficient car.
And designed more maybe to actually be like street legal approved in that sense, could potentially be brought to market in a sense of that, correct?
Absolutely. In the cruiser class, there's a whole practicality judging where the cars are rated on, you know, the comfiness of their seats, you know, infotainment, how much luggage could fit inside the car. So yeah, absolutely. Much closer to something that would be brought to market.
This is the future of mobility, right? These are riding machines as much as they are driving machines in the future as we get to. Your team's car for Eclipse ETS is in the booth. I guess, how would you, have you had to describe it to somebody who hasn't seen it visually? How would you, I guess, maybe describe it?
Right, right. It is part of the Challenger class cars.
That's the single occupant one, the first one you described, right?
Yes. Precisely, precisely. The shape that we opted for, it looks a bit like a catamaran, a bit like a boat from afar, with a single, the driver on one side, with the battery on the other to balance the weight a bit. It is meant, you know, you could also say there's like a table of solar panels on top. So imagine that's a catamaran, 4 square meters of solar panels and a driver somewhere amongst that.
Yeah. And so that brings me to the question of, let's get through the 5 days. Here, mm-hmm. right? I've got a lot of curiosity. Have you been 5 days through the outback of Australia, Todd-san? No, you spent any time?
No, I haven't had the chance. I'd love to go next time, though. Yeah.
How does it work? Right? You have a team that moves, but in your vehicle, you have a single occupant, so one mm-hmm. driver. How does the team maybe move together? And then I also have questions about, you are basically camping in the outback overnight, and that seems to bring a whole different line of challenges and things you need to prepare for in that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So throughout the competition, it remains a prototype vehicle. So it is sandwiched between two escort cars.
Okay.
So we have one car that leads the way and another one from behind that we call the chase car. Usually, teams inside the chase car will have be gathering telemetry data or running, race strategy for the solar car and calling the shots to the solar car, saying, you know, increase speed, lower speed, things of the sort. And through that, we're in that formation, we're going through the 3,000 kilometers. In terms of the race itself, how it goes on, we race. We're on the roads from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay.
So it, but
just
before
a standard work day, putting in the time, yeah,
pretty much, that's it, right? But before that, before we get back onto the roads at 8, and even after we get off the roads at 5, there is a sort of recharging period where we're allowed to put our solar panels against the sun and gather as much energy as we can as the sun is setting or as the sun is rising. For our car in question, we could run without any sun for 300 about kilometers. However, it's really those recharges in the morning and the evening and throughout the day that allow us to, reach those 3,000 kilometers to get us to the finish line.
Yeah. So then the sun goes down, you guys are camping in the outback. That seems a whole different race strategy preparation. Do you need to take like some wilderness training classes? Do they give you a brochure of all the things that are in Australia that you need to take mind of as you prepare for this?
Yeah, the administrators give us ample documentation on how to prepare ourselves, foreigners coming into the outback.
It's a similar climate situation in Montreal, right? It's just like going to Adelaide, yes, indeed.
Pretty much, right? Some things that, caught some of our team off guard is, like, for example, cellular reception is practically none, right? You're lucky if you get some even in the cities on some of the providers, right? Access to water is, so it can be somewhat challenging, right? So have to plan that out. In terms of food and all that and lunches throughout the day, right? We won't be stopping, throughout the day for lunch break, right? So planning in advance our lunches. So there's a whole chapter of logistics of just getting, the team safely, right? From the start to finish. It will be carrying with us our camping gear, and when 5 p.m. hits, pull on the side of the road, find a nice patch of grass, and set up our tents for the night.
Any fun animal experiences or just the wildlife that comes through in these areas?
Yeah, we saw a lot of nice spiders.
As always, the adjective that goes in front of spiders, nice ones. Yeah. Look at all these nice spiders.
We saw spiders, we saw lizards, wombats, kangaroos, really what you'd see in, a book about Australia.
Yeah, sure. No, that sounds about right. It's super interesting because it's unlike most competitions in terms of when we talk about motorsports and races. I mean, there's these all other different elements to it. Todd-san here talked about the performance of the tire, how we design it. that it has to meet these certain standards. From a performance aspect of the tire, what does the team need in how the tire performs? And then condition-wise, I mean, we talked a little bit about you're going across 5 days, but what are the temperatures? I'm sure there's temperature changes. There's all these weather conditions, climate conditions that also come into play in how the car, but and in our sense, particularly the tire, may perform. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Temperatures up north could be really hot. At some points we measured the asphalt was getting over 60, 70 degrees Celsius, right? And ambient is around 35, 40 degrees Celsius, where you get down south, it could drop down to 5 or 10 degrees. So we need a tire to be able to sustain those extreme temperature ranges, as well as, all the wind, sand, and dust that will be given through the outback, as well as the speeds, right? These cars could go pretty fast. For ourselves, Eclipse could go up to 130 kilometers an hour. I mean, it's not that efficient, but it can go up to that speed. So we need a tire that is able to, encompass all that, and we could put our trust into it, right? That it's, the competition is one thing in itself, but we need to be able to trust every component that we're putting into this car and have something that, is proper for the environment.
Absolutely. Well, we talk about the future moving forward. I know, Todd Sun, you talked a little bit about the learnings that we take from all of these activities. I guess, how does the learnings from each of these events maybe impact, like we said, the pass-through to the other areas of the business? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that happens, right? How do we carry these things on?
Well, for the work solar car challenge, as we said, 63% of materials security. Now we are trying to bring that into other motorsports platform in near future.
Yeah.
And then we hope to have that tire to be on the street. So it is a challenge that our journey for making that tire into the street in the near future. So. It's right now the material circularity, the number itself. The another challenge is to making that material come back to tire again. So these are the challenges that we are looking at.
We'll continue to unpack. Yeah. Matthew, what about you? So you've got one under your belt. I think a lot of people, you've got a run of 4 to 5 years in university. Where does this road usually lead for maybe other people on your team who have graduated? What does this experience usually build for them, and where do they take it forward?
Absolutely. A typical university degree will last maybe 4 to 5 years. So at the end of every competition, unfortunately, right, maybe about a third to 25% of the team will be graduating. But for the rest of us, when we come back, the competition is somewhat of a school for us, right? We get to learn, what we did great, what we could have done better, and take in what the other teams have done as well. And as soon as we got back, we started designing the next car. So we're going to spend another year designing and the year on fabrication and rinse and repeat for 2025.
There you go. And in between, right, there are other challenges in between that you compete in on the off years of, because the World Solar Challenge is every other year, we should be clear as well. So, and then what is the in-between year that you guys compete in?
Absolutely. The Bridgestone World Solar Challenge is really, the event where all teams reunite, but on the off years, there's sort of the equivalent of like a national competition, mm-hmm. you could say, right? So we participate in the American Solar Challenge, which this summer should be going from between Kentucky all the way to Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
But there's other competitions around the world as well, right? There's the European one, mm-hmm. One in South Africa. Somewhere all across the world.
Sounds right. And we'll get some Bridgestone tires for you. And you can take the tour. It'll be good. I'd be remiss if I didn't also note, we talk about these platforms, Todd Sun. Formula E is something that we just recently announced that is coming.
It's coming.
There's not a lot we can talk about right now, but we did get the official confirmation from the FIA mm-hmm. that we will be providing tires for Formula E starting in 2026, I believe
is correct. Yes.
So that's exciting for us to look forward to. Obviously, another sustainably focused motorsports platform,
exactly,
being electric formula car racing. Also here in the United States, I know a lot of our listeners are likely familiar with IndyCar and the Firestone brand and the work. We talk about the Wiuli that we have been making in the southwest of the United States, harvesting that local rubber,
right,
using it in race tires as an alternative source of natural rubber to be more sustainable. Also working with our partners at Penske, and we'll be talking with them in another episode here at CES to do, you know, transportation of tires, fleet decarbonization, mm-hmm, these types of things, because there's other aspects of there's the racing, but then you got to get stuff to the racing. There's,
exactly,
the manufacturing and distribution, and like you said, the recycling after it branches into a lot of directions.
So how to make all the operation, the logistics, yep, and everything to be sustainable.
Yep.
It's a challenge. And the motorsports, again, is a great platform to try that and make that into everyday business.
There you go. We will continue to tell the stories. We're excited to see these stories come more to life as, yeah, well. I think these are the proof points that make things very real to people as we experience it. But I appreciate greatly the time and the conversation here, everybody. Matthew, thanks for coming down. We're excited to have you and the team in the booth here at CES. It's been fun to see. Thank you for having us.
It's
absolutely
been great.
We get to touch and feel this car in person. And Chita-san, great to see you. Great to have you in
Thank you. Japan
and talk through some of these things. I have a feeling you'll be telling the story a lot in the next few years ahead.
I sure hope so.
It'll be good. And of course, we have a few other episodes of the Thrive podcast that have focused on racing topics. An interview with our chief race tire engineer, Kara Kristalik, from previous seasons. We've also talked about the Advanced Tire Production Center in Akron, Ohio, which newly opened in the last few years, where we make all of our Firestone race tires for the IndyCar series. So be sure to check those out. They're on any of our podcast platforms of your preference. You can find us there. And if you want to watch episodes on video, you can also find us on the Bridgestone YouTube page. If you also have another topic, maybe there's something else in racing you want to explore, you can send us an email with a question or an idea at thrivepodcast@bfusa.com. But for now, from CES 2024 in Las Vegas, I'm Keith Colley, reminding you to keep on keeping on. And remember that at Bridgestone, today, tomorrow, together, we thrive. Be good, everybody.